CRTV's afternoon edition comes up at the top of the hour. Stay with us.
CRTV's afternoon edition with Doris Batitatoekwe. In our top stories, the ninth session of the Cameroon Equatorial Guinea Mixed Commission has opened in the Equatorial-Guinean city of La Paz with a firm resolve by the ministers of external relations of both countries to find new ways of solving common problems. Out of Cameroon, Kamala Harris's running mate in the U.S. presidential poll, Tim Walz, has celebrated his rural roots, referring to Donald Trump as a drawback to the nation. He was speaking at his first appearance as his party's nominee for vice president during a Democratic Party rally in Philadelphia. And in sports, day three matches of the national interpools are underway in Yaoundé, with the first matches ending in a few minutes. The news bulletin is next.
CRTV's afternoon bulletin with Gladys Tata. The ninth session of the Cameroon Equatorial Guinea Mixed Commission has opened in the Equatorial-Guinean city La Paz, with experts urged to deliberate in a spirit of constructive dialogue and mutual respect. Cameroon's Minister of External Relations, Mbelambela, and Equatorial Guinea's Minister of International Cooperation, Simeon Oyono-Sono, pledged the commitment of the two countries to seek avenues of solving their common problems. Holding at the behest of the presidents Paul Biya and Teodoro Obiang-Mbazo, the session will also center on the misunderstandings relating to border insecurity and harmonious living together of compatriots of both countries. Cameroon's Minister of the Economy, Planning and Regional Development, Alamin Usman May, has opened the third and fourth steering committee meeting of the Project for the Development and Valorization of the Logone Valley, known as Viva Logone. Expected to end in 2028, the project aims to improve the productivity and production of rice in the Far North region to the tune of over 124 billion CFA francs. Far North Regional Governor Mejiawa Bakari is among those attending the session. Public Health Minister Manauda Malashi has launched the health voucher scheme for the northwest and southwest regions of the country this Wednesday in Boya, with the aim to offer healthcare services to citizens at cheaper rates. It falls in line with ongoing actions taken by the Minister of Public Health to speed up the implementation process of the first phase of the universal health coverage in all 10 regions of the country. The head of the Human Science Department of the UNESCO National Commission has appealed to young Cameroonians to take advantage of technological innovation to better arm themselves in the quest to build sustainable societies and a safer planet. and Laurence Mumé was speaking in Yaoundé today while opening the inaugural conference of the 9th International Youth Fair, organized by the Cameroon Association for Rural Development in partnership with the Ministry of Youth Affairs and Civic Education. The fair will culminate in celebrations to mark this year's International Youth Day, which comes up on August 12th. A UNESCO chair delegation of Central Africa, led by Cameroon's resident representative of the African Institute for Computer Sciences, IAI, Armand Claude Abanda, has presented partnership agreements and the missions of the institution to the Chadian government during a three-day working sojourn to N'Djamena. The delegation will hold sessions with the Minister of Digital Economy and the Prime Minister of Chad, Alamai Halena. And this press release, the Minister of Transport informs the general public that the ongoing special road safety campaign launched on 5th of June 2024 is midway gone. An evaluation of said campaign so far has revealed an upsurge in road traffic offences, the most recurrent of which are overspeeding, overlapping of the continuous line, wrong overtaking, overloading and failure to wear the seatbelt. A total of 1,769 traffic offences have been recorded out of the 3,442 cars stopped by the Minister of Transport's technical team and law enforcement officers. Appropriate sanctions were imposed on offenders, including the withdrawal and suspension of more than 175 driving licenses, four precautionary suspensions to interurban passenger transport companies, and the payment of related fines to the Treasury. The Minister of Transport notes that despite the sanctions imposed on offenders on the one hand, the human and material deployment of road safety teams on the other hand, many road users continue to behave recklessly, causing accidents. In order to ensure a peaceful back to school throughout the country, the minister instructs an intensification of control and repression operations by judicial police officers with special competency in the Ministry of Transport and law enforcement officers during the school phase, the second phase, which is more sensitive and more delicate given the flow of traffic. He also informs all road users of his personal involvement in unannounced inspections of travel agencies and on the national road network in the days ahead. As a result, any offender caught in breach of the highway code will be subject to the more severe sanctions laid down by the regulations in force. Signed, the Minister of Transport, Ngale Bibehejang Ernest Masena. And we take you out of the country where Tim Walz has touted his rural roots and said Donald Trump will take the U.S. backwards as he appeared for the first time as Kamala Harris's running mate at a raucous Democratic Party rally. At the event in Philadelphia on Tuesday night, the party's new nominee for vice president said the Republican rivals in November's election were weird as hell. The Minnesota government spoke in front of thousands of supporters just hours after he was announced as Mrs. Harris's pick for the role. And in sports, 4 days to the close of the 2024 Olympic Games in Paris, the United States of America is leading the medal with 24 in gold, followed by China with 22 and Australia with 14 medals. In the meantime, Africa is a long way off its tally of 37 medals won in Tokyo in 2021, as only Kenya, South Africa, Uganda and Algeria have each won a gold medal. Cameroon leaves the competition with no medal. And that's the bulletin.
Washing our hands regularly will save lives.
CRT This Afternoon Edition.
We set the pace. CRTV's Afternoon Edition.
Connecting people.
And you're welcome back. Proceedings of the 9th Cameroon Equatorial Guinea Mixed Commission are ongoing in the Equatorial Guinean city of La Paz, with the experts brainstorming on the legal instruments signed between the two countries, which could improve and strengthen their cooperation ties. While co-chairing the opening session, the ministers of external relations and international cooperation of the two countries called for constructive dialogue and new ways of solving the problems that hinder excellent ties. Albert Jim Bonde is CRTV's special envoy to La Paz.
For this first mixed commission meeting in 12 years, Cameroon and Equatorial Guinea have brought together a cream of diplomats as well as experts on security and border issues. For if relations between the two are cordial, issues impeding their strong historical and sociocultural ties abound, from border demarcation to cross-border insecurity and the movement of people and property. Five committees have been set up to deliberate on the issues, and while Simeon Oyononsono, the Equato-Guinean Minister of International Cooperation, urged the experts to work in a spirit of constructive dialogue and mutual respect, Cameroon's External Relations Minister, Mbela Mbela, in his characteristic humility and sense of humor, called for new ways and methods of solving problems, in line with the wish of Presidents Paul Biya and Teodoro Obiang-Nguema Mbazogo.
Monsieur le ministre, oui. Il n'était un expert. Moi, je n'étais pas encore ministre. C'est pour vous donner la garantie,
oui.
Compte tenu de nos relations de longue date,
oui.
Que ça ne va pas se faire comme à l'époque. Vous avez parlé de nouvel élan, de nouvelles méthodes pour trouver des solutions. Ça va se faire dans la fraternité. On sera en même temps ministre et expert, comme le vôtre.
Territorial Administration Minister Paul Atanganji is attending the proceedings alongside several members of government of Equatorial Guinea, the resident ambassadors accredited to Yaoundé and Malabo, all admitting that what unites the two countries is bigger than what separates them. Albert Njiembonde, Christian Betsigi on special assignment, La Paz.
And back here in the country, members of the steering committee of the project for the development and valorization of investments in the Logone Valley, better known as Viva Logone, have been urged to close ranks and step up rice production in the far north region from 130,000 to 600,000 tons. The president of the steering committee, Minister Lamine Ousmane May of the Economy Planning and Regional Development, made the call while opening the third and fourth session in Yaoundé today. More on that story with staffman Ngo Henry.
The project for the development and valorization of investments in the Logone Valley, better known as Viva Logone, according to the president of the steering committee, Minister Lamine Ousmane May of the Economy, Planning and Regional Development, is to improve the productivity and production of rice in the far north region. The third and fourth steering committee session is to examine and assess activities being implemented as well as documents necessary to improve on the governance of the program so as to bridge the gap between the production and demand of rice in the country. Some 130,000 tons of rice are produced today, which is below the demand, which stands at 600,000 tons. Minister Lamine Ousmane says in response to the import substitution drive, the sum of over 124 billion CFA francs will be allocated to the program. The physical execution rate of the Viva Logone project now stands at 26%, while the financial engagement is around 23%. The president of the steering committee revealed that the project is one of the best performing ones in the portfolio of the World Bank and challenged members of the steering committee to work hard to maintain the trend so as to record the best possible results by the end of the program in 2028.
After opening the session in the presence of the Vice President of the Viva Logone Project, Far North Governor Mijiawa Bakari, the President of the Committee says the allocation of the sum of over 124 billion CFA francs to the project is within the import substitution drive of the government. Here now is the Minister of the Economy, Planning and Regional Development, Lamine Ousmane May, with the benefits of the project. He spoke to staffman Ngo Henry.
The amount of 124 billion CFA is going to be allocated to this important project will contribute to improve our rice production. We are achieving around 140 million tons, which is far below the demand, which is at 600,000 tons. And this is a response in line with the import substitution policy of the government, as well as the project announced by the President of the Republic to really integrate our import substitution policy in the agricultural sector. And we believe that the results achieved so far, execution is around 26% and financial engagement is around 23.5%. We are on a good track. And I encourage our members of the steering committee to work hard to maintain this trend, and we will be able to, at the end of the process, this is 2028, to record the best possible results.
That was the Minister of the Economy, Planning and Regional Development, Alamin Usman May, speaking. The government of Cameroon, via the Universal Health Coverage Scheme, is committed to improve access to health care services for all while guaranteeing the dignity of the people. A health voucher worth 95.92 billion CFA francs is the amount set aside for the first phase of the Universal Health Coverage Scheme. But how is the health voucher distributed and who is eligible to benefit is what Elizabeth Mbomboni Agbo puts together in the following report.
Out of the 95.92 billion CFA francs for the first phase of the universal health coverage, the government of Cameroon has mobilized the sum of 48.38 billion, while 47.54 billion CFA francs is the contribution of its financial and technical partners. As a matter of fact, those eligible to benefit from the preventive, promotional and curative offers include children aged 0 to 5 years, pregnant women and newborn up to 42 days of life, as well as persons with specific pathology. While the preventive and promotional services are free of charge in all the 10 regions, as well as consultation and treatment of uncomplicated and severe malaria for children aged 0 to 5 years, pregnant women are expected to pay the sum of 6,000 CFA francs for antenatal consultations up till delivery, and even complication requiring a cesarean session, plus the care of newborn up to 42 days old. For persons living with HIV and AIDS, tuberculosis and onchocerciasis, treatment is free of charge in all the 10 regions. In the meantime, the dialysis session for a year requires a minimum of 15,000 CFA francs as compared to 520,000 CFA francs which patients were made to pay before the introduction of the universal health coverage.
Maternal and infant mortality are in a steady decline in the far north region since the health voucher program went operational to the beneficiaries. This also has reduced the financial barriers experienced by many of them since the implementation of this government initiative in health facilities across the region. Hospital attendance rates and prenatal consultations have been on the rise. Sylvester Temkin completes that story from Marwa.
The introduction of the health voucher in 27 out of 33 health districts in the far north region has enabled more pregnant women to undergo prenatal consultations and delivery in conventional health facilities, unlike in the past when they depended entirely on traditional birth attendants.
First of all, the price was cheap and the consultations were free of charge. And during my pregnancy period, when I had malaria, the checks and tape also handled everything.
Some of these women are particularly touched when they saw how the health voucher gave their sick babies access to quality health care.
When I gave birth and went home, I realized my baby's temperature was high. I rushed back to the hospital the next day, and the baby's consultation, tests and treatment were done without me spending a dime because I had the chèque santé.
This has considerably improved the quality of prenatal care for pregnant women and reduced infant maternal mortality rate in the far north region. Marwa, Sylvester Atemking, CRTV.
Washing our hands regularly will save lives.
Over 100 community-based assistant volunteers from 34 council areas in the Northwest are currently participating in a capacity training workshop in Bamenda. The three-day program initiated by the Office of the Public Independent Conciliator and its partners aims to raise awareness about the mission of the organization while equipping participants with the essential skills needed to effectively promote citizen participation in local development efforts. Ola Titanki reports.
The Office of the Northwest Public Independent Conciliator conducted a survey in 2023 which revealed that citizens do not adequately participate in regional and council affairs. In response to this finding, officials from the office are organizing a training session aimed at equipping field agents with the necessary skills to enhance citizen engagement. The Northwest Public Independent Conciliator, Simon Tanfu Fai, emphasizes that this training is crucial for building a cohesive network.
We have 105 community-based assistants. They will make sure that the values of PIC are executed by the council.
During the training, participants will engage in various activities designed to enhance their understanding of inclusiveness.
Jack Chirac Awan, coordinator for services of persons with disabilities. We have commonalities in ensuring that all people in the Northwest region are taking part in governance decisions.
The Northwest Public Independent Conciliator Simon Tanfu Fai insists that field agents must be neutral, impartial, and objective in their work. All at Itanki, CRTV News, Bamenda.
Promoters of the International Youth Fair underway at the Yaoundé National Museum say their goal this year is to empower exhibitors with entrepreneurial skills through various seminars and workshops. The fair, in its ninth edition, is taking place under the theme Energy, Creativity, and the Contribution of Youths to the Construction of Sustainable Societies for a Safe Planet. It has been organized by the Cameroon Association for Rural Development in partnership with the Ministry of Youth Affairs and Civic Education. Here now is the director of the International Youth Fair, Kader Njoya, with an overview of this year's week-long event designed to culminate in celebrations to mark the International Youth Day.
Give a platform to young people where they can express themselves, focusing on entrepreneurship. We choose the month of August because 12th of August is the International Youth Day. Here we are having conference, debate, workshop, seminar as well on topics like peace and security, social entrepreneurship, culture of democracy, protection of environment. So we will be teaching them how to recycle waste. Last year we were focusing on entrepreneurship but in the digital sector. This year we are taking all the sector to work with many partners.
That soundbite was selected for us by Karen Kubong. Some meritorious pupils and students from Manyu Division in the Southwest region who were successful in the 2024 official examinations have been urged to continue to work hard so as to remain outstanding in life. The statement was made by members of the Manyu Women Association, MOWA, Boya Branch, during an excellent award ceremony in Boya. Nora Akokebei reports from Boya.
The Manyu Women Association, MOWA, Boya Branch have recognized the brilliant performance of some 36 school children with special cash prizes, didactic materials and certificates of excellence award in order to encourage and promote hard work and decent values. Madame Agbondip Sherry is the vice president of MOWA, Boya.
We had the women of MOWA of good standing who initiated and supported this gesture by giving the children financial support. The future is in their hands. They have a choice to continue with their success, because when they continue with their success, they are going to win many more awards.
The laureates expressed gratitude to MOWA Boya for their kind gestures.
Sutambe Emmanuel Ebob, I say thank you to the MOWA women.
It's a lot to us, expects us to work more harder.
The MOWA women called on the laureates to always uphold good virtues and remain outstanding in order to become leaders and not followers. Nora Akokebi, CRTV News, Boya.
Let's now go to the littoral. Since the death of Rudolph Douala Mangabel in 1914, only three other people have been enthroned as paramount rulers of the Bell clan. Each of these leaders have brought their own unique touches and contributions during their respective reigns. Details with Rabiatu Jingi Abdulaziz.
The Bell clan spans over 100 years and has experienced the reign of just three paramount rulers, after Rudolph Douala Manga Bell.
We had the son of my grandfather, Ndumbe Douala Manga, my father Douala Manga too, and myself.
These different rulers all have a specific value they brought into their chiefdom.
I work to revalorize our cultural values, knowing full well that we have been brainwashed to mystify that tradition and modernism cannot work together.
Demystifying why tradition and modernism can go together is what the present ruler is fighting for his people.
Making a difference between modernism and tradition is to put us into a confusion. The generation of my father is not my generation, and that of my father is not the same as my grandfather's. So every generation brings in his own particularity.
Between 1914 to 1952, the throne was vacant, but some family members like Henri Lobe, Richard Dean Manga, Theodore Lobe Dumbe kept the chiefdom running till 1952, when Alexandre Dumbe Manga Bell was officially enthroned as the successor of Rudolph Douala Manga Bell. Rabiatu Jingi Abdulaziz, CRTV News, Douala.
As a prelude to the 30th International Day of Indigenous Peoples, the Mbororo community in Manju, East Region of Cameroon, have met to reflect on this year's theme, which is access to citizenship, a fundamental right for indigenous peoples. The meeting was chaired by the first deputy mayor of Manju, Yunusa Abdullahi, who urged them to exercise their civic duties and participate in national matters. Pearl Sa with the details.
The meeting, chaired by the first deputy mayor of Manju, in prelude to the International Day of Indigenous Persons, was to sensitize key actors of the Manju Mbororo community on the importance of exercising their civic duties and taking part in community development. Yunusa Abdullahi, first deputy mayor of Manju.
Sur le thème de cette année qui est révélateur.
In line with this year's theme, we targeted traditional rulers, imams, and heads of Quranic schools so they can be edified on fundamental civic responsibilities and in turn pass on the knowledge in their various villages.
Relayer les informations dans leurs villages respectifs.
Guest speakers took out time to remind the participants that owning a birth certificate is pivotal, as little or no achievement can be done without this important document. They were equally edified on the importance of owning all legal documents like voter's card, marriage certificates, national identity cards, among others. Valerie Nja is guest speaker.
An encouragement to rural people to participate in the political, economic, and social life of our nation.
The gathering was equally dedicated to deliberating on a smooth celebration of indigenous persons on the 9th of August, prior to which a free collective marriage in the said locality will be organized. Pelsa reporting for the CRTV in Manju.
In sports, Union Sportive of Abongbang is at the moment on top of Pool A of the National Interpols with 4 points following their 1-0 win over Botafogo of Douala this afternoon at the Fekafu Technical Center in Oja. Mintak FC of Upper Sanaga is about now playing against Option Sport of Bamenda in the second Pool A match in Oja. In the meantime, Krimi of Garua won Volcan of Noon by 1-0 in the first Pool B match at the CAF Excellence Center in Bankomo this afternoon. The pool leader, Atlantic of Kribi, is currently beating Boya United by 1-0 in the second match. Meanwhile, the Cameroon Football Federation, FICAFU, yesterday announced the end of their partnership with the equipment supplier, One All Sport. The information was made public by the Secretary General of FICAFU, Blaise Junang, who cited the failure to respect the terms of the partnership by One All Sport as the reason for the termination of the contract. In the meantime, the national football teams will wear the jerseys of the supplier for the last time during competitions in September. And in more sports news, 4 days to the close of the 2024 Olympic Games in Paris, the United States of America is leading the medal with 24 in gold, followed by China with Trinidad and Australia with 14 medals. In the meantime, Africa is a long way off its tally of 37 medals won in Tokyo in 2021, as only Kenya, South Africa, Uganda and Algeria have each won a gold medal. Cameroon leaves the competition with no medal. To end CRTV's afternoon edition, a reminder of our top stories. The ninth session of the Cameroon Equatorial Guinea Mixed Commission has opened in the Equatoguinean city of La Paz with a firm resolve by the Ministers of External Relations and International Cooperation of both countries to find new ways of solving common problems. Out of Cameroon, Kamala Harris's running mate in the U.S. presidential poll, Tim Walz, has celebrated his rural roots, referring to Donald Trump as a drawback to the nation. He was speaking at his first appearance as his party's nominee for vice president during a Democratic Party rally in Philadelphia. And in sports, Union Sportive of Abongbang is at the moment on top of Pool A of the National Interpols with 4 points following their 1-0 win over Botafogo of Douala this afternoon at the Fekafu Technical Center in Oja. And that's a wrap for CRTV's afternoon edition. My name is Doris Batitato Ekwe. Ariel Olivia Zwa has a summary of the news in French. Good afternoon, Ariel.
Bon après-midi, Doris. Le ministre des Relations Extérieures, le jeune Bela Mbela, et son homologue de l'administration territoriale, Paula Tanganji, prennent part aux assises de la 9e session de la commission de coopération entre la République de Guinée équatoriale et la République du Cameroun. Pendant 3 jours, l'instance convoquée par les chefs d'État des deux pays aura pour mission de mettre sur la table toutes les questions visant l'amélioration de la coopération dans le but de consolider leur lien de fraternité. Salon international de la jeunesse, la 9e édition se poursuit au Musée national. Les jeunes démontrent leur ingéniosité à travers des ateliers de formation et des expositions. Projet d'aménagement et de valorisation des investissements de la vallée du Logone, les activités sont en évaluation à Yaoundé. Au cours de la 4e session du comité de pilotage, présidé par le ministre de l'Économie, de la Planification et de l'Aménagement du Territoire, Lamine Ousmane-Mé. En santé, couverture santé universelle, les chèques santé mis en œuvre en 2015 couvrent désormais 7 régions du Cameroun. Il permet de prendre entièrement en charge la femme enceinte ainsi que les nouveau-nés à un prix forfaitaire de 6 000 francs CFA. En sport, Jeux Olympiques Paris 2024, la compétition est terminée pour les athlètes camerounais. Le ministre des Sports et de l'Éducation physique salue les performances de la Team Cameroun à cette compétition. Fin de ce condensé.